The book of Revelation portrays heaven as the holy city of Jerusalem, resplendent in beauty, with gates of pearl, streets of gold, and with precious jewels ornamenting its walls. And that is usually considered symbolic language written to paint a picture for us. Often our scripture speaks about heaven in terms of what it will not be. There will be no sorrow, no tears, no pain, no troubles, no hunger, no thirst. The most positive description in Revelations of what will be is heard in the loud voice that John heard calling from the throne in Revelations 21, verse 3. Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul contrasted our present capacity to see things in human faith and hope with that that will be in the afterlife this way. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. In his great resurrection chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, Paul assures us that on the last day, when Jesus comes to take those who are his to himself, the dead in Christ will rise with glorified bodies, and the believers who are alive will be transformed in the twinkling of an eye. There is no suggestion that our spirits will be absorbed into the universal spirit of the universe, as some religions suggest. Rather, there is blessed assurance of our enjoying continued personal identity as individuals. You will be you, I will be me, with new bodies, fully equipped and fully suitable for life in what 2 Peter chapter 3 says is a new heaven and a new earth, which righteousness dwells. As John put it in text for today, in our text for today, we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. I don't think that's literary language at all. That's a promise. Because we shall see him as he is. Hope is an indispensable component of the prescription for life. As Paul wrote about the hope that is ours, again in 1 Corinthians 15, he said, if in Christ we have hope in this life, we are of all people most to be pitied. Consider that. Of all people most to be pitied. To which we say amen, or that's right. When we think about it, if we stand at the graveside of loved ones and place their mortal remains into their resting places, it is important for us to know what now. And the assurance of God's word comes to us simply but profoundly, they are with Christ. Paul's good news also in 1 Corinthians 15 is, in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Similarly, John assures us in our text for today's message, when he appears, we shall be like him. And so we are able to send our loved ones on ahead, and we can reckon with our own eventual departure in hope and confidence. The spark of a future with Jesus Christ actually brightens our present. It brightens our present. A country preacher in England expressed this faith and hope in a note to a friend. To my surprise, I have been told my days are numbered. It may be that before this reaches you, I shall have gone into the palace. Do not trouble to write. We shall meet in the morning. That's the living hope that God's gift in Christ Jesus, for where there is hope, there is life. Our hope in the future influences us in the now. This encourages us to turn Paul's words around. Before, we heard from 1 Corinthians 15, if in Christ we have hope in this life, we are of all people most to be pitied. And that sounds kind of bad until you think about it. Turn it around, and Paul says to us, if our hope in Christ involves only waiting for eternal life, it would be a pity. That's what's meant there. We need the spark of his presence with us here and now to brighten our earthly days, to know that he's truly there for us, to comfort us and to strengthen us and meet the demands of our daily lives today. With him at our side, we will have a good day, and we will enjoy the hope that tomorrow and the next week and the next year and the next year and the next year will also be good days under his blessing. With him at our side and his Spirit living in us, we will work at purifying ourselves, just as he is pure, according to today's text. With him at our side, we will actively dedicate ourselves to pursuing his purpose for us in his kingdom. It is truly unfortunate that so many of our neighbors, as well as people around the world, don't have that living hope we enjoy through our faith in Christ Jesus. We should endeavor to do our best to tell them and to show them by living our lives claiming that hope. Where there's hope, there is life. When it is the living hope that is ours in Jesus Christ, it is truly the spark of the future that brightens our present. Amen.